The Old Testament reading for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and that you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And then they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson takes place during the last week of Jesus' life, during Holy Week. And the Jews are seeking desperately to discredit Jesus. And Jesus usually responds with a parable that's against the church leadership. So they're going to try to trap him now with questions. But Jesus shows they have a lack of understanding and a lack of service to God. Just previous to this text, the Sadducees had come to him about a question about the resurrection. And the Sadducees, by the way, did not believe in the resurrection. And by the resurrection, what they meant is, when the Messiah came, would Jews who had died rise again to partake in the Messianic age or not? The Sadducees said, if you were dead when the Messiah came, you missed out on it. So they asked Jesus a trap question. And he basically points out that they don't know the Old Testament themselves, even though they think they're scholars. After this, the Pharisees come to Jesus and ask him, which one is the most important commandment of them all? Jesus counters by basically saying they're rejecting, they're serving God. He says the first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. They were violating the second most important commandment by trying to discredit Jesus. Then we get to our text. Then the Pharisees went and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their malice and said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And hearing this, they were amazed and left him, and they went away. They try to set him up in a very interesting way, that he's not a respecter of persons. Perhaps they're making an allusion to Leviticus 19:15 that says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the poor nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. In other words, judge fairly, not with partiality towards how wealthy the person is that you're judging. In a sense, they're telling Jesus he's not obeying that passage. Or it could just be mere flattery. They're trying to butter him up before they stick him in the back with the verbal knife. They're trying to trap him with God's words. They were, in other words, saying, you truly serve God only and make judgments based on truth, not on the status of men. Therefore, is it right to give tribute to Caesar? Paying taxes. Does anybody actually enjoy doing that? You ever notice there's a strange box on your tax form that always gets me? If you want, you can check here and donate extra money to the federal government. Now, I think if you check that box, you should be put into a mental hospital. But that's just my opinion. We still deal with the whole question of paying taxes or not. And this was a head tax that everybody in the Roman Empire had to pay, including women and slaves. It was paid to take care of the services that Rome provided for the empire. Now, if he said, no, it's not lawful to pay taxes, he would be in trouble with Rome. And that's the answer that they sought. Our text says, so they could deliver him to the rule and authority of the government. If he said, yes, it's lawful to pay taxes, then he'd lose support of the people. Either way, the Pharisees and Herodians would win. Which, by the way, it's unusual for the Pharisees and Herodians to get together, because the Pharisees were very strict on the law of Moses. The Herodians were what we would call secular Jews. They were Jews by name only, and they were very loyal to King Herod, who the Pharisees hated. So you have two groups that generally hated each other who came together at this one time to combat Jesus. Jesus answers by calling them all hypocrites, because he knows the hearts of men. They didn't want the truth. They were more concerned about their own influence and getting Jesus out of the way. Now, the census was always paid in Roman coinage. You could not use the coinage of your local kingdom. You had to use Roman coins. So Jesus asked for a coin. Now, this story takes place in the temple grounds. In the temple grounds, it is unlawful to have the image of any person. So when he says, show me a coin, immediately I can picture a young Pharisee named Jacob going, I got one. And some of the older ones going, really, Jacob? Why? So he calls them hypocrites because they're not supposed to have this coin on them in the first place, but they readily produced one for him. Now the inscription on the coin read, on the one side, Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the August God. So on one side of the coin, he's claiming to be God. On the other side of the coin, it had the word high priest. So he was king and high priest. Then Jesus fires the fatal shot. He says, "Render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's." Their claim that the coinage bore the image of Caesar acknowledged several things. It belonged to him. The coinage was his. It also acknowledged that they owed a debt to Caesar. And that third, they were not free to do with whatever they wanted with what belonged to Caesar. And fourth and finally, they were not free themselves. They were servants of Caesar. They were captives of Caesar. They were still in bondage. And all four ways rubbed the Jews the wrong way. They were obligated to pay, even if they didn't like where their tax money went to. Do you like where all your tax money goes to? It drives me personally nuts that my tax dollars, some of it goes to Planned Parenthood. Drives me nuts, but yet I still have to pay it. Otherwise, the deacons would be visiting me in jail. But we still owe it no matter what. They couldn't withhold from Caesar what belonged to him in the first place. And most of the time, sermons go off on talking about duties to government. But I want to focus on the other thing Jesus had to say. And render to God the things that are God's. Whose image do we bear? What is the inscription on us? Genesis 1, 26 to 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Presently, we do pay taxes, but we should hand everything over to God himself. Everything that we are should be handed to God. There's an argument from lesser to greater here. The lesser case is giving to Caesar. That's one part of it. But the second part is we wholly belong to God. And we will give an account someday on how we behave with God's coinage. Do we live in a way that wholly shows that we belong to God? Everything belongs to God. Even more so those that were purchased with the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We owe a debt to God for what he's done for us. Romans 12, 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." As God's people, we do make sacrifices. We deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow him. These are the sacrifices that we offer to God. But we are not free to do whatever you want with what is God's. We are only stewards of everything he has entrusted us with, whether that's body, clothes, money, or homes. And the bodies as well. They don't belong to us. I love the argument, it's my body, I'm going to do with it what I want. No, it's not. It belongs to God. God says what to do with it. Not me, the pastor, not other the church as a whole, but God himself says, "It's my body, you do with what I want with it." All is to be used for him. Romans 12, 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." We are slaves to the righteousness of Christ. We are slaves to him. We do our master's will. Romans 6, 16 to 19 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that through you were slaves of sin, yet you who obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. We were made in God's image. I read that earlier from Genesis 1. But we're tarnished by sin itself. But God restores that damage done by sin. Colossians 3 tells us, do not lie to one another, since you have been put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And from 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. God gives us an example through Christ when it means to live in the image of God. So wherever we are as Christians, whenever we as Christians sin, we profane the image of God and the name of Christ. Do you take the image of God seriously? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.